that Maharaj, the whole ceremony is yours today. So, so I'll have to be a little spontaneous today. I wasn't planning on something very long. So anyway, we want to speak about marriage. This is an engagement. Engagement means engaged to be married. Om Gnatimananda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So in the Hindu society, there's this thing called a chutney. Some of you heard that before. I call it a chutney. I'll explain what it is, because I know we have some Western people here. I want to explain some of the terms. That's a Hindu engagement. And it usually occurs 6 months to a year before the marriage. And what they do then is, of course, they exchange rings, and there's some other mantras chanted and everything, and they take promises in front of God. And, of course, in different religions, we have different conceptions of God. Here in the Radhagiridhari temple, we have the deities. The deities are, let's say, manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are made according to the Vedic literatures. And the example Srila Prabhupada gives, our spiritual teacher, spiritual master gives, is the post office puts various mailboxes around the city. And if you drop your letter in one of the authorized mailboxes, hopefully it gets to the destination, except for if you're in Fiji, in which case it doesn't. But those of you from Fiji know what I'm talking about. Or from India, it doesn't get to the destination either. But I'm sure in New Zealand, it does. So probably compare the deity worship to something like that, that it's a local manifestation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And so I know for Western people, sometimes the deities or the deity worship is a little shocking. I remember the first time I walked into a Hare Krishna temple. Thank you. That's an unusual outfit. I thought Dodi's were unusual. Anyway, so the first time I walked into a Hare Krishna temple, I was sort of shocked to see the deities there in front on the altar. And then everybody was bowing down, and I thought this was something out of some movie I saw one time. You know, I won't tell you which movie it was. But I didn't understand what was happening. It was quite shocking for me, to say the least. And then it took me quite a while. And also what I saw in the first time I walked into a Hare Krishna temple was people running around a bush, bowing down to a bush. And I thought, this is not from the Bible. This is not the burning bush that Moses saw. I said, what's happening here? So there were a lot of different rituals and things happening that basically I didn't understand. And we find that when we go to different religious organizations, we see people doing things bowing down. Like you go to the Muslim mosque and see people bowing down like that. And when you really investigate it, you'll see that it has a very deep theological meaning to it. Like, of course, the Muslims, they bow down to Mecca 5 times a day. Very specific, very organized like that. And it's a manifestation of their devotion or their love or their obedience to the Supreme Personality of God. Because when you have these different rules, regulations, and rituals, it regulates your life in such a way that you remain focused on your goal of life, which is to be God-conscious in any religion, isn't it? Like you walk into a church, there'll be an icon of the cross. You'll have the cross, and that'll focus you on Lord Jesus. So every religion has their particular focal points. So when we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we focus on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how do we know that's actually the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because it's described in our literatures, the Vedic literatures, which are thousands of years old, 5,000 years old or even more so, written down approximately a few thousand years ago, but there was an oral tradition before that. So this helps us focus our mind on God. And God is a person. So it helps us focus our mind on God is in his personal aspect. So I know for many of you, this may be a new experience coming into a temple, Hare Krishna temple, but it's a traditional system that we're following, like any bona fide religion in the world. Okay, so today we have a marriage. I said before, I was talking about it, a chechene. Isn't that, I pronounce it right? Chechene. And it's just basically an engagement. That's in Hinduism. Of course, we're not Hindus. That's another point I wanted to make. That Hinduism, or the word Hindu, is never mentioned in the Vedic literature. So we're not Hindus. But I'm just referring to a Hindu tradition. We are Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means worship of God, one God. Ekala Ishra Krishna Arasabda Vrija. Krishna is one of the names of God. He has many names like Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Nrisimha. But there's only one God. And we're all worshippers of that God. So, but in the Hindu tradition, even though we're not Hindus, there's a chechene, and that's the engagement. And then after the engagement, they have a love feast or something like that. What is it called? Priti Bhoj. And after, this is a little like cultural information. And the Priti Bhoj, all the women dress with their finest clothes. And the men, they don't care how they dress. That's normal when you go to a religious ceremony, right? And so all the women are showing, this is true in the Priti Bhoj, isn't it? Women are showing off their latest outfits to everybody. So this occurs 6 months to a year before the actual marriage. And even during the engagement, they have the legal marriage. That's the Hindu system. So we're not precisely following that system. We're going to have a feast after this, I believe. But it's not a Priti Bhoj. It's going to be just a normal Hare Krishna vegetarian feast. And the women shouldn't be showing off their latest outfits either. So, but the essence of that engagement, whether we're talking about the West or the East or the North or the South, is that people are making some promises to each other. Now, in this day and age, promises are not usually kept. Isn't that true? Whether someone is getting married or whether there's a politician. The politicians are infamous for not keeping their promises. You know, after they get elected, they ask you, why didn't you, you're supposed to reduce taxes, but you're increasing taxes. Doesn't that happen sometimes too? So, unfortunately, this is a major principle of religion, this promises or keeping promises. There's other principles too, like cleanliness, mercifulness, and truthfulness. Sometimes in the Vedic literature, these are considered the four legs of the bull. Do you understand? Cleanliness, merciful, truthfulness, and austerity. So, truthfulness is very quickly disappearing nowadays. And the engagement is based on the principle of making a promise and keeping a promise, as is the marriage. Now, what is that promise that people who are getting engaged are making? The promise is basically to stay with each other. Now, that seems like a simple thing, right? Stay with each other. But there are many challenges in life. When one is young and in the romantic stage, what age is that? And nowadays, of course, romantic stage lasts till one's 90, you know. So, but traditionally, when one's young, one has this, what we say in India, this Bollywood conception of marriage. Does anyone know what that is? Like romantic conception of marriage. Anyone here who's seen Bollywood or romantic films or whatever understands this, that everything will always be flowers and we'll always hear flute songs or violins or harmonios or mridangas. You know, so in other words, it'll always be the chirping of the birds and the humming of the bees and what else? And the nice sunsets and a beautiful moon. And tomorrow it's an eclipse anyway. So...
the beautiful moon, all those other things. But life
is seldom like that. Life is full of challenges. And relationships are oftentimes full of challenges. I mean, I can ask the devotees here who are married. Maybe we should ask some of the devotees who are married. Are there any challenges in marriage? Krishnachandra? He can't answer because his wife is here. So, basically, there are challenges in relationships. Whether you have a relationship of friendship, whether you have a relationship of marriage, whether you have a relationship of parental relationship. Don't children sometimes challenge their parents? Or parents challenge their children? It's amazing. So, with those challenges, the point is to remain loyal and faithful to the person who you made a commitment to. You know, commitments, really important. It's like we were talking about this today in regard to different manifestations of the Absolute. We were talking about, there's two, let's say, manifestations of the Absolute we're talking about. This is a little technical. We're talking about Lord Ramchandra and Krishna, right? And Krishna in the spiritual world, his place is Goloka Vrindavan. And Lord Ramchandra, his place in the spiritual world is what? Ayodhya. So the question Krishnachandra raised was, you know, if one goes to Ayodhya, will one want to, you know, leave there and go to someplace better? So my answer was that if one is a devotee of Ram and loyal to Ram, he's not thinking Krishna's better. He's thinking, Ram is everything to me. Like we see the chastity of Sita Devi. Sita Devi never thought of anyone else other than her husband Ram. Even there was that test, we told the story from the Ramayana, there was that test called the Shivi Sagara test. That means, once upon a time, there were two pigeons. And these two pigeons, there was a male pigeon and a female pigeon. I think it's Kapota Kapoti is the Sanskrit name for the pigeon. The Hindi, same thing? No, not same thing. So Kapota Kapoti, and these two pigeons were married. And so the lady pigeon, she came back a little late from catching worms. Came back a little late. And the male pigeon said, you come back late. I don't trust that you've been chased. And the female pigeon said, whoever heard about pigeons being chased? And the male pigeon said, pigeons are supposed to be chased because we're in an ashram here of Valmiki Muni. We're close to Valmiki Muni's ashram or temple. And he said, if you want to prove your chastity, you should fly over this lake. Remember, just a pigeon. And the lake was 800 miles, which is 1,200 kilometers long. And so this lady pigeon started to fly over the lake. And, of course, very difficult for a lady pigeon to fly 1,200 kilometers without stopping, without getting wet. And she was going down, and then she prayed to God. And then God enabled her to go all the way over this lake. Interesting. So in the same way, when Sita Devi was in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, some of the brahmacharis were doubting her chastity. And Valmiki Muni said she should be able to do the same thing. And in fact, she did. Because she was so devoted and chaste. And that's the point, keeping her promise completely dedicated to her beloved. Interesting, isn't it? So we take these personalities like Sita and Ram, or even Ravan and Mandodari, as exemplars in devotion, and exemplars in chastity, in loyalty. So this is really what a marriage and engagement mean. That no matter what, we stick to our duty, we stick to the other person who we've made commitments to, come, as they say, come hell or high water. And there are challenges. You know, there will be differences of opinion. I hate to tell you that now. Maybe I should tell you that in about a year or two, but anyway. There will be differences of opinion, there will be little arguments, but no matter what,
You stick with each other. And the important thing is you stick with each other and help each other advance in spiritual life. Not just stick with each other in a mundane sense, but you do the best thing for each other. What's the best thing? The best thing is to help each other understand the purpose of life and devote yourselves to God, to encourage each other. Not to see each other as objects for your own enjoyment, but to see each other as persons to consider their happiness. In other words, you should consider the other person's happiness as more important than your own, especially the spiritual happiness, spiritual advancement. So this is a great responsibility. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, Lord Vrishabhadeva states that no one should become mother or father, and of course I'm extrapolating this, or husband or wife, without being capable of liberating their dependent, or those who they have a relationship with, from the cycle of birth and death. So you both have that responsibility to liberate each other. You understand? It's generally, we think when one gets married, it's you're bonding them together. But these are the bonds that liberate them. It's interesting, isn't it? Instead of getting bonded to the material realm, these bonds of marriage are a transcendental or spiritual partnership that enable you to advance steadily in Krishna consciousness, steadily in spiritual life, and ultimately reach the goal of pure devotional service to God, pure devotional service to Krishna. So this is the meaning of this engagement. It's a very serious thing, even though, you know, I speak a little humorously sometimes. But this is serious. You make a promise and you don't break, no matter what happens. Even if someone puts a gun to your head, you refuse. Pretty good, isn't it? Can you do it? Wait a second. Wait a second. Yes. He said, I'm remaining loyal. I'm making a promise in front of Krishna, in front of God, in front of all the devotees, in front of the parents. This is a serious promise. And we don't break promises. Actually, it says in the Vedic literatures, the earth will not bear the weight of a sinful liar. So someone who doesn't keep promises is a liar. Even if he doesn't tell lies, he's still lying because he's acting a lie. You understand? So really remember this one point. Always keep your promises and stick to your duty no matter what. And then your marriage will be very successful and it will be an eternal marriage. Forever and ever and ever. By eternal marriage, I mean that at the end of this life, because we all have to leave this world at a particular time, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, etc. At the end of this life, you both will be together. Not that you both leave your bodies at the same time. We're not advocating the sati rite. But you'll both be together eternally, serving Krishna. Isn't that nice? An eternal partnership. This is so romantic, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm a sannyasi, I'm speaking romantically. You know, eternal love. If it's true, this is really eternal love we're talking about. You serve God together. I mean, you won't look the same way, you won't be dressed in that outfit. But you'll be serving God together eternally, isn't it? It's sweet. Sweet, romantic. I mean, you can't think of anything nicer than that. If you just stick to it and assist each other and serve each other, and it's not that the husband is the boss and the wife is supposed to just like be a slave or anything like that. It's partnership. Remember that, partnership. It's not that you've gotten someone to roll your chapatis for you. That's the Indian culture, of course. Or cook your bread in Western culture. Or cook your spaghetti. You know, it's not like that. You work together, you care for each other, you're concerned for each other, your first priority is to help each other. Got it? You agree? Okay, so that's my little talk on this engagement. And so, did you make any promises in front of the deities yet, or? So we should do that. You should both go in front of the deities. I guess I'm supposed to guide the whole ceremony, right? Do you have garlands to exchange? Okay, so you can stand up, and then we should all stand up and go with them. Go in front of the deities. Yeah, it would be nice if I had a microphone up there. Right in the middle. I guess we'll do the standard marriage vows for them.
Wow.
I mean, what could we do? I won't be there at their marriage, so I better do it now. Okay. So you have garlands in your hands? Or why don't someone get the garlands and give them... Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions now. Do you, Alex, promise to accept Meredith as your wife, to guide her, to be concerned for her, and help her in her Krishna consciousness, and be a transcendental partnership with her? Have a transcendental partnership with her? Do you?
I do.
You do? And oh, you can't hear? Okay.
No, we can't hear the answer.
Oh, you can't hear the answer?
Yeah.
He said yes. Do you, Meredith, promise to remain with Alex through happiness and distress, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, summer and winter seasons. What else? Any other dualities that I can think of? Up and down? What? Rich or poor?
Of course.
And assist him in his Krishna consciousness and care for him and be concerned for him. And both of you should be self-sacrificing for the others. You agree?
Yeah, I do.
She does. Hari Bol. In front of Radha Giridhari and the assembled Vaishnavas and all the family members, wonderful family members, and the Supreme Personality of God and the Son, which comes out once in a while here, they're making this promise. And part of the ceremony is to exchange garlands. So exchange garlands. This is called the Gandharva Rite. Jai! Here you go. You throw it there. Here you go. Congratulations. There's different types of Vedic ceremonies when one is either promising to get married or getting married. And this is called the Gandharva marriage or promise, where you exchange garlands and you're considered betrothed at that particular point. There's other ones where the man kidnaps the wife, but we're not doing that one here. Okay. So... then we'll have the feast now. Everything else all right? All right, thank you very much. And again, I apologize for being late. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Radha Gaudari, Ki Jai, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. I think you, yeah. Okay, with us? Okay. Okay.
And then maybe everyone else.
Picture in front of the deities. Hare Bol. Okay.
Where is it?
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Everyone take photos.
Get the family.
Get the whole family in.
Family? They're shy.
They're shy. Really? Okay, one with a red shirt. The Spanish is pretty good, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Try to adapt it to their, how they can understand it, instead of being too Vedic. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Okay, I don't get it. Okay. All right. Okay, Prasadam. You want to introduce me to your wife? How do you do? Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Uncle Donald? Uncle Michael? Okay. And who else? Mucho gusto.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go
check. Sí. Hablo español.
Not very right good. Now. Just really it's good. Pick it
up. I lived in Venezuela. Vive en Venezuela para 3 años. Encargado del un templo en Venezuela. Un templo de Hare Krishna en Venezuela. Mucho gusto. Okay.
We're taking some prasadam for you, Gurudev, some nuts and fruits.
I already ate.
You don't eat yet?
Why should I eat again? I mean, there's no need. I mean, we're not at somebody's house, so I don't have to eat. What? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So they appreciate what I said, or?
Well, let me turn it off. Oh, you recorded.